Christ during his earthly ministry for quite some time, a couple years. We will close that series today. The last few weeks, we've been looking at the restoration of the ear of Malchus. And if we turn to the book of Luke, chapter 22, again, we've spent the last few weeks looking at the events leading up to this miracle, which Matthew, Mark, and John record, and then Luke records the actual miracle, which we looked at last week. In verse 49, when they which were about him, that is, apostles around Jesus, saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them, we know, was Peter, in the other accounts, without waiting for answer. Again, we learn much from Peter. A lot of people ask the Lord, but they don't wait for an answer. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far, or permit this. And he touched his ear and healed him. We see, of course, that Christ had no apprehension going to the cross. It's what he came to do. We've looked at that. We see that Malchus, of course, was an enemy of the Lord and was acting in hostility when Peter smote his ear. And again, I believe that Peter was, his intent was to cut off his head, but he missed. And so Malchus was in the midst of an act of hostility when the Lord reached forth and touched his ear. And as we saw last week, that, of course, speaks of the grace and mercy of the Lord. And we see the grace and mercy of God in all of these healing miracles. The miracle of restoring the ear of Malchus brings to the light that the Lord can and does fix the damage that man can cause. He does not always fix the damage that man causes. He does not always completely repair the damage that man causes. But God can, and God does, fix the damage that we can cause. And we see here that Peter caused some damage. Man can, all of us, can cause great harm. And if and when we do that, we need to look to the one who can fix what we've done. And we see this here in this particular miracle. We also see that there is a miraculous working power in the Lord. We see here that the Lord touched. We've seen several miracles where the Lord healed by touching. And there's power in the touch of the Lord. We see in other cases he spoke a word. And again, Christ did not perform every miracle in the same way. Because had he done so, we would put God in a box more than we do. We would put him in that box, and that is where we would keep him, expecting God to always work the same. We want to summarize the miracles of Christ all through the gospel accounts. There are recorded the miraculous works of Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, give eyewitness account. They do not all give the same account. That doesn't mean that they contradict one another, but as we've said before, just like in any other event where there's more than one person seeing the event, people see different things. People focus on different things. People emphasize different things. We see that in the Gospels. And that's why it's good. You'll never get a complete picture if there are four accounts and you only look at one account. You're not getting a complete picture. And people do that with the Gospels all the time. There may be four accounts, there may be three, there may be two. In some cases, there's only one. But we need to look at each account. And when we do that, we're able to piece it all together. And we're able to get a full picture. And that's what we've tried to do with these miracles of Christ. So we have the eyewitness accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They give account of Christ's power over nature. We looked at the miracles of Christ over nature, such as turning water to wine and calming storms. So they give account of his power over nature. They also give account of his power over human ailments and disabilities. Falls under the category of his healing miracles. They give account of his power over demonic forces, which also we have put under the heading of his healing miracles. They give account of his power over death on three occasions. He raised the dead. We put them also under the healing miracles of Christ just for the sake of ease. But all of these miracles are directly attributed to Jesus Christ. Notice in John chapter 2, and John makes it a point to attribute the miracles to Christ. We need to learn that lesson. This is a failure of many of God's people. They fail to attribute to the Lord. In John chapter 2, verse 11, this would be following the first recorded miracle when Christ turned the water into wine, said, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee." Notice, miracles did Jesus, and manifested forth his glory. These miracles manifested forth the glory of Christ. We can't lose sight of that. Miraculous works of God manifest the glory of the Lord. And we see, and his disciples believed on him. Their faith was strengthened. And our faith ought to be strengthened by the miraculous works of Christ. Notice in verse 23 of the same chapter. "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles," notice, "which he did." Doesn't just say when they saw the miracles, but when they saw the miracles which he did. The miracles are not attributed to the subject of the miracle. The miracles are attributed to Jesus Christ. Be careful what you give man credit for. Notice and also be careful what you blame God for. Notice in John chapter 3, verse 2, "The same came to Jesus by night," Nicodemus, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest. That thou doest. Again, the miracles are attributed to him, except God be with him. Then notice in chapter 4, verse 54, we're going to look at a lot of verses today. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did. Notice that Jesus did. Miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judah into Galilee. So far, do you see any credit given to man? No. Everything is attributed to Christ. Notice in John chapter 6, verse 2. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them. Which he did on them that were diseased. The disease didn't do anything. They did not merit the miracle. Christ did the miracle. All glory goes to him. Notice verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, notice again, the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. So miracles are attributed to Christ. And they are referred to as mighty works. Notice in Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, and verse 14. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. And therefore, for mighty works do show forth themselves in him, that is in Christ. Mighty works, the miracles of Christ, whether it be turning water into wine, whether it be calming a storm, whether it be giving sight to the blind or hearing to the deaf or the ability to for the lame to walk or for raising the dead. These are mighty works, works that only God can do. Mighty works. And they testify of his omnipotence. Notice also in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 13. Luke 10 verse 13. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, notice again, mighty works, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But once again, it's referred to as mighty works. Every single miracle that we've looked at was a mighty work. That's what makes it miraculous. It's something beyond the ordinary. These miracles, these mighty works, were done to authenticate the mission of Jesus Christ. They were to show that he indeed was the Christ, that he indeed had been sent by God the Father. Notice in Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 7. Again, these miracles were done to authenticate his mission. Verse 20. When the men came into him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. Again, those we see several times we have mass healings without going into the details of those individual healings. We have that here as well. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, those who came to him with this question, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, which are the things recorded there in verse 21. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Again, it proved that he was indeed Christ, that he was the one sent from God. The question came, art thou the one that God has sent, or do we look for another? And Jesus said, go tell him the miracles that you have seen. In other words, these things prove that I am sent of God. Notice in John chapter 5, verse 36, John 5, verse 36, Jesus speaking says, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, included in that are the miracles. The same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. They bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Notice in John chapter 25, chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Notice verse 38. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So the miracles authenticated the mission of Christ, that he was sent of God. On the day of Pentecost, notice in the book of Acts chapter 2, Peter stood up and declared in verse 22, he said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. He's called for their attention. He then says, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. And then notice how this came about. Approved of God. How did it show forth that Jesus Christ was approved by God or sent by God? By miracles and wonders and signs. Next word is which, referring back to miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him, that is Jesus of Nazareth, in the midst of you. That is, these things were done publicly. And then it closes by saying, has ye yourselves also know? You have seen these miracles. You know what has happened. That is, they were done publicly, and there was no doubt that the blind received sight. There was no doubt that the deaf received hearing. There was no doubt that the lame were made to walk. There was no doubt that the dead was brought to life. There was no doubt about these things. No matter how hard the religious establishment, no matter how hard others tried to do away, there was no denying that the mighty works of God were being done. So it was by these miraculous works that Jesus Christ was set forth as the Christ. He was set forth as the Almighty One. He was set forth as the Lord of all. The miracles set forth and declared these things. It shows that he was indeed the Savior. He was indeed the Emancipator. And he was indeed above all and beyond all and superior. to all. These miraculous works should do several things. They were done to promote and to strengthen faith. And just reading these miracles should promote and strengthen faith. Notice in John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." It says believe. Believe for the very work's sake. Notice in John chapter 20, verse 30 and verse 31, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is sent of God. He is the Son of God. He is equal with God. He is God himself. And that believing, you might have life in his name." So the miracles were done to promote and to strengthen faith. They were done to portray the needs of man. Every single healing miracle brings forth the needs of man. Even the miracles over nature bring forth the needs of man. As you read the miracles of Christ, you see that man is a needy creature. And the Lord has everything that man needs. Everything. And so we see that it's done to portray the needs of man. And as we've brought out in all of these miracles, these healing miracles are a picture of the salvation. It is a picture of salvation by grace. They portray the sufficiency that is in Jesus Christ. Each of these miracles is a message of salvation. Now, it is important that we remember that the recorded miracles of Christ are only but a small portion of the miracles that he did while upon this earth. These are not what we have looked at. Are not all of the miracles. We just read that here in John chapter 20. These are not all the miracles have been recorded. Only a small portion. Now John records that if all the miracles of Christ were recorded, the world could not contain the books that would be required. Notice John 21, verse 25. "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. What is recorded is everything we need to know. You know, people will say, I wish I knew some of the miracles that weren't recorded. You need to concentrate on the ones that are. Don't worry about the ones that aren't. That's what people do. You know, it's like when Paul refers to a letter to the Laodiceans, and I've heard people say, wouldn't you like to know what was in that letter? Why don't you read what you know, what you have, instead of worrying about what you don't have? And everything that is recorded is what we need. And these miracles are what we need. And they're just, they overflow with treasures. Again, we could start all over on this series and we'd bring out completely different things, because you cannot exhaust what is here. What a blessing. What a blessing. When you and I can personally identify with the marvelous miracles of Christ. I try to do that every time I read the Word of God, put myself there. make personal application. I can identify with those miracles. You say, well, you've never been blind and had Christ touch your eyes. Oh, yes, I have. Spiritually. Which is far worse than physical blindness. And on we can go. And when you look at the human ailments that are portrayed here in the Gospels, they are a picture not only of lost man, they are also a picture of the condition that God's people find themselves in many times. And who's the answer? The Lord. In every single case, He's the answer. But what a blessing when we can personally identify. Again, the Bible is a miserable book. If all you do is read it and you cannot personally identify with any of it, it makes one miserable. It causes great depression. That's the problem with a religion only. You hear truths preached, but you cannot personally identify. It just makes you more miserable. You're more miserable than someone who doesn't hear. So we see that we ought to be able to identify. These miracles, if we're able to identify with them, and again, we can apply these miracles to many, 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 many different circumstances in our lives. They ought to cause us to be filled with faith. The miracles of Christ ought to fill us with faith, ought to fill us with courage. They ought to give us conviction of who Christ is. You ought to fill us with humility. Every single healing miracle, not one single person that was healed deserved to be healed. You ought to fill us with humility and thankfulness and praise. It ought to cause us to look to Him because He is the one who can. Keep in mind that all that the miracles performed by Christ during His earthly ministry also brought personal responsibility and accountability. Matthew 11, verse 20, John 15, verse 24. The miracles brought personal responsibility and personal accountability. And I want to say just the reading and the hearing makes one responsible. When you read and hear of these miracles, or any portion of God's Word as far as that matters, you are now responsible. You are now accountable. So we pray that these... I love to preach from the miracles of Christ because there's so much that is there. I love to read the miracles of Christ over and over and over and over again. And we pray that these have been a blessing and that we have learned from these miracles of Christ. I will get a CD to Brother Mark of all the printed lessons, and Brother Mark will put them on the webpage. Let's look to the Lord with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do again thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for what You show us in Your Word, and we pray, Lord, that each and every day You would open our eyes to more and more of Your precious Word. We thank You, Lord, for the miracles of Christ that have been recorded for our learning and for our benefit. And we pray, Lord, that You would strengthen us by these things. We pray now that as we worship You, Lord, that our worship would be in spirit and in truth. We pray, Lord, that if there be one here lost in their sins, Lord, that You would reach down and open their heart to salvation this day. Lord, that You'd save their souls. We just pray, Lord, that each one of us would go from here closer to Thee. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.